It's Wednesday, April 2nd, and this is Brian with the Morning News. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the headlines you need to know. To be in the know, Democratic-backed candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court Susan Crawford defeated Republican-backed Brad Schimmel, while Republicans Jimmy Patronis and Randy Fine won special elections Tuesday in two Florida congressional districts, bolstered by President Trump's endorsement to fill vacant seats in reliably Republican strongholds. Patronis, the state's chief financial officer, fended off a challenge from Democrat Gay Valamont, even though she far outraised and outspent him. He will fill the Northwest Florida 1st District seat vacated by former Representative Matt Gaetz. In North Florida's 6th District, Randy Fine won against Democratic challenger Josh Wheel for a seat vacated by Mike Waltz when he was tapped to become Mr. Trump's national security advisor. The win bolsters Republicans' margin to 220 to 213 in the House of Representatives. In other news, President Trump's promised tariffs are set to begin today, and they'll go into effect sooner than some had expected. Although many details remain unknown, perhaps even to Mr. Trump himself, the administration's Liberation Day trade policy announcement is expected to be the most aggressive tariff move yet by the most tariff-obsessed president in modern history. Mr. Trump met with his trade team Tuesday, and the tariffs he announces at a Rose Garden ceremony at 4 p.m. Eastern today will go into effect immediately, according to White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. Mr. Trump has vowed to aggressively slap tariffs on U.S. imports as a catch-all solution to almost any problem. Meanwhile, the Pentagon is rapidly expanding its forces in the Middle East as the U.S. military continues airstrikes against Houthi militants in Yemen and steps up its pressure on Iran, the Pentagon said Tuesday. President Trump has threatened in recent days to bomb Iran if Tehran doesn't make a deal to roll back its nuclear program. But two officials said that the aim of the current deployment is to bolster the U.S. campaign in Yemen and deter Iran. The deployments aren't preparation for an imminent Iran attack, the officials said. The buildup includes F-35 combat jets, which are joining B-2 bombers and Predator drones in the region, according to U.S. officials familiar with the planning. The U.S. will soon have two carrier strike groups in the region, the USS Harry S. Truman and the USS Carl Vinson, which is usually assigned in Asia and is expected to arrive within 2 weeks. Along with the carriers, the strike groups include cruise missile-carrying destroyers and other warships. Back in the U.S., the Trump administration began broad staff cuts at the Health and Human Services Department, locking some workers out of federal buildings and reassigning others to new agencies, including Indian Health Service. The move is part of Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s strategy to shrink and reshape the nation's health agencies. The cuts extend far and wide, from the Food and Drug Administration and the National Institutes of Health to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. An HHS spokesman said the cuts would not affect drug or food reviewers or inspectors. This critical work continues, he said. At the NIH, staff at communications offices were cut as part of an expected 1,200-person reduction in force. And, in a feat of determination, New Jersey Democratic Senator Cory Booker held the Senate floor with a marathon speech that lasted all Monday night and into Tuesday evening, setting a historic mark to show Democrats' resistance to President Trump's sweeping actions. Mr. Booker took to the Senate floor on Monday evening, saying he would remain there as long as he was physically able. More than 24 hours later, the 55-year-old senator was still going. It set the record for the longest continuous Senate floor speech in the chamber's history. Mr. Booker was assisted by fellow Democrats who gave him a break from speaking by asking him questions. By standing on the Senate floor for more than a night and day and refusing to leave, he had broken a record set 68 years ago by then-Senator Strom Thurmond of South Carolina to filibuster the advance of the Civil Rights Act in 1957. Now you know, and you're ready to go with the Morning News. Share this with a friend and subscribe to us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. You could also sign up for our newsletter at themorningnews.com. Thank you for listening.